Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, Tiger. Teach me, Tiger, how to kiss you. Show me, Tiger, how to kiss you. My lips, they belong to you. But teach me first, teach me what to do.
On the roll!
Dan, please don't do that.
Wait! Hey!
Wait, that's it? That's it?
Listen, we need something that will play to your strengths of loving the sound of your own voice and talking forever. Podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
That is exactly it. And thank you for checking out episode 2 of Beans Podcast. I was humbled by the amount of people who took the time to listen to episode 1 last Wednesday and how many further went on to take the time to comment via the tweet or texts from friends or emails. And overwhelmingly, I have received the message. It was one of three things, really. First was, hey, stop podcasting. Okay, got that message received. Number two was, how do I get the 19 minutes and 45 seconds back that I just wasted on you from listening to episode 1? Heard that one too. And third, and I think the most common was,
Bean, fix your goddamn life.
So as you can see, I definitely took your notes to heart. And here I am back with more nonsense. Coming up in 5 minutes on today's episode, what would it be like if you're just at your job working away one day and you get a text that says, hey, there's a sports superstar in the building that wants to meet you. It happened to a friend of mine, and we're going to call him. That's coming up. But first, it has been brought to my attention on perhaps more than one occasion that I do not have the quote-unquote normal human emotional response in certain situations, to which I would reply, who's really normal among us? Look, people are extremely varied in how they react to certain news and certain things that happen around them. Someone might find something horrific. Someone else might find it hilarious. A thing might happen that somebody thinks is embarrassing. Somebody else might look at the same thing and think it's empowering. Who's to judge, right? We're all just people.
We're all just people.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. And he would know because he's a doctor. But I will tell you there is one area that I think I am a little bit different than most people in that I almost never cry. I am not a tears guy. Very, very rarely will I come across something that will make me want to cry. If I see a terrible thing happening to a child or to an animal, yeah, that can definitely get me. Twice a year, I watch It's a Wonderful Life, and that scene at the end where the townspeople come together to give George Bailey all the money to make up for the $8,000 that stupid Uncle Billy lost.
Hey, spoiler alert.
That'll make me cry when his brother Harry comes back from war and says,
oh, I left right in the middle of it as soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast to my big brother George, the richest man in town.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's going to get me every single time. But there is one particular set of circumstances that does put me in that glass case of emotion, and that is when I have to make a call to a big company's customer service line. And it happened again this past Friday when I had business to conduct with AT&T.
Mr. Telephone Man, 8675309. And my number is Beach
1-5-7-8-9. All right, so here's what happened. Friday morning, I found a voicemail on my cell phone from AT&T, and they were calling to say, it is very important that you get back to us as soon as possible about this telephone number, 504 blah, 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 blah. A very important telephone number for me, by the way, because it's the line I use to connect my home studio in Louisiana to K-Rock. If I'm in New Orleans, I want to be on the air in Los Angeles. I got to have this phone line working. So, yeah, I take this seriously, and I call him back immediately. It won't surprise you to know that it took about 20 minutes to get to a human being because all of these big companies, including AT&T, have a phone tree that's set up to make sure that you can't get to a person. But eventually, I weed-whack my way through all of this, press 1 for this and press 8 for that, and I do get to a human. He can't help me, but he does offer to connect me to someone who can. I'll skip past the part where I got passed around from employee to employee, including getting disconnected once and having to start from scratch, and get right to the guy who finally was the right person to help me figure out what's going on with this phone line.
I know that it hurts a lot. Just know that if you want to cry, you can, and I will not judge you.
Okay, I'm not crying yet, but I do feel the tears starting to well up.
What's your account number, sir?
He asks me, and I say, I don't have any paperwork in front of me. I'm on paperless billing, and I'm on autopay, so I'm sorry that I don't have that.
Well, we can't do anything for you.
I said, but you called me and told me it was very important that I get back to you at once. And they said,
yeah, but we can't authenticate that it's you.
And I asked, is there a rash of people calling up and voluntarily paying other customers' phone bills? Is that what's going on here? You want to make sure that's not happening? Because it's me. I have my name. I have my address. I have my social security number. Anything else? Password questions? Whatever you need to know, I promise you, it's me. I just want to make sure there's not a problem.
I can't do anything for you, sir.
Can you tell me at least if I owe any money? Is that what you guys are calling about in the first place? Can I just make a payment then, not even knowing if I owe any money, just in case I do, and hope that that covers it so that I make sure that this phone line doesn't get disconnected?
Not without an account number, sir.
Okay, you called me, I'm calling you back, and you can't help me. What if you call me again? How about that? I'll give you my phone number. You can call me this.
No, can't do that either.
At this point, I do feel tears welling up behind my eyeballs. Sir, I said, I'm running out of ideas. Is there anything I can do to move the plot forward on this to make sure that this phone number does not get disconnected?
Of course, sir. You can go to any AT&T store and they can take care of you in person.
All right. I thought it's awfully inconvenient, but that's what I'll do. So Saturday morning, bright and early, I'm in the parking lot of the AT&T store, sitting in my car, waiting for their doors to open. And when they do, I'm the first customer through the door. The young lady behind the counter greeted me. She seemed very nice. She was ready to help me. Not nearly as nice as Lily from the AT&T commercials, I'm sure, but I'm already here. And I explained my tale of woe. Here's my phone number. They called and told me it was urgent that I get back in touch with you. I just want to make sure everything's okay with the account. Is this a wireless number, she asked. I said, no, no, this is my home phone number. She said, we only do wireless here. Did I cry multiple times during the day on the phone on Friday talking to AT&T? Yes, I did. Did I cry additionally driving away empty-handed from the AT&T store on Saturday? That is true as well. Will I be able to be heard the next time I'm home trying to do the radio show? Don't know. But if not, thanks a lot, AT&T. You win. You broke me. Mark Thompson. A face you'd certainly recognize if you live in Southern California. He's been the on-again, off-again weatherman on Fox Channel 11 for many, many, many years. You also hear him frequently on 640 AM KFI Radio. And he's the host of a very successful and excellent podcast called The Edge Show. He's also been a friend of mine for more than 35 years. He's the friend I mentioned who had the surprise celebrity encounter with a sports superstar. I want to give him a call, but since this podcast is brand new and I've got my training wheels on, I need to make sure my Skype phone dialing is up to speed. So let's test it out by calling upstairs and seeing if Mrs. Baxter is home.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How about
you? How do I sound? Do I sound normal to you?
You sound actually very rich, so it's good.
Well, I am very rich.
Good. You sound better than when you call me on your cell phone.
All right, it looks like we can all be heard. So now let's dial the fashionable Brentwood neighborhood of Los Angeles, California, and talk to our guest.
Hello.
Mark Thompson.
Speaking.
Bean Colley. How are you, sir?
Bean, we love you in this house. How are you?
Doing great. So the Kids' Choice Awards was on Sunday night on Nickelodeon, and you were...
It was indeed,
Bean. You were a part of it?
I was a big part of it, Bean. Many say I am the straw that stirs the drink. Kids' Choice Sports Awards. The competitions, hot and heavy, with some of the highest profile all-pro athletes on the planet. Mm-hmm. And the guy to call those competitions, bring them to life, yours truly.
Okay. Now, not to get too far off on the tangent here, but since your looks started to decline, you find yourself doing more and more TV voiceover and radio work and less on camera, as they say.
Oddly, Bean, that's a personal choice. Of course, most of these shows want me on camera as well. But first of all, my quote rises when you want me on camera.
Oh, of course.
And most can't afford it. You're mistaking a lot of the voiceover work for, like, Mark's not suitable to be on camera anymore, when the truth is, it's Mark prefers not to be on camera.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
As much.
So at some point, you're there doing your job, and somebody, please walk me through this, because I was fascinated with what unfolded in real time on your social media, Mark. At some point, you get word that there's somebody else there in the building that is eager to meet you. Tell me what happened.
Well, Bean, I lose track of what a big personality I am, what an impact I've had on our industry. You know, you can imagine. I mean, I've just been with myself for so long. But out of the blue, I get a text from the floor director. They're two hosts of the show, Michael Strahan and Russell Wilson, the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. Mm-hmm. So I talked to Strahan already before the show started. Strahan and I kind of, we know each other from Fox. He does, the NFL on Fox, as you know.
Sure.
And, but I'd never met Russell Wilson before. And there was, I had to go back to my little area where I do my voiceover stuff. In comes the text from the floor guy saying, Russell really wants to meet you. I know you're busy, but if you can get down here during a break or something, it would be great.
All right. Now, let me stop you right there, because for any, look, even people who aren't big sports fans, and I know you are a huge NFL fan, everybody knows who Russell Wilson is. He's one of the biggest names in America today. But especially for you, a guy who is a Seattle Seahawks fan, even though you've lived most of your adult life in California, the Seahawks are your team. So your head must have been bursting at this news.
He is, I think, one of the most exciting players in the history of the NFL. You know, I mean, he is an incredible athlete who's able to make something out of nothing. He scrambles like nobody else. In a league that has valued scrambling and movement and mobility, he takes it to another level. So, yes, Russell Wilson to me, unreal.
Yeah, he's your
man.
So
I get this text, and my first thought is, this is a mistake. He thinks I'm another Mark Thompson. He doesn't know. He's trying to indicate something to the floor guy, and the floor guy's misunderstood,
sure.
You know, that he wants to meet me.
Whenever I get the opportunity in the course of my job to meet people who I admire, in my mind I'm thinking, all right, how do I maximize this? Forget maximize. How do I not embarrass myself in the few minutes that I have with this person? How do I make a contribution to their day that is going to be positive for them and not look like an idiot? Are you thinking about, oh, my God, if I really do meet Russell Wilson, what am I going to say to him?
I'll tell you the truth, and I said this. I said this to the floor guy because I went down to meet Russell Wilson, and at that moment, I guess Russell had gone back to his dressing room. It was in a different part of the arena. We shot the thing at Pauley Pavilion, so it's a huge place. And I went down there, and I said, in a way, I don't really want to meet him because the story's not going to get better than it is right now.
Yeah.
There is no other level we can go to that's going to make the story better. So I thought, wow, it's just so good right now. Like, you know, when I actually meet him, what do you think he could say to make the story better?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, man, you know, after the show, I was thinking maybe you can, you know, I got a plane. We can hop on it and fly to Vegas where a bunch of us are going to go down there and kind of hang out for the night.
And Ciara's got a sister, right?
Right, exactly. So minutes before the show, and I mean maybe 4 minutes or 3 minutes before the show is going to go on, I get to his dressing room. I go in, and there's this big dude, like, standing outside his dressing room. And I said, hey, I'm Mark Thompson. Russell asked to have me come by before the show. And so he says, well, wait here. He goes in, and it's about nine. And even as it's about a minute or 90 seconds. And I'm thinking, you know what, dude, just blow this off. Go back up there. And seriously, let's be done with this. But then right then the guy comes out and goes, okay, come on in. And so I go in, and the place is this huge dressing room. And it looks like a cross between like Disneyland and Gymboree. There are like all of these kids everywhere. And there are all of these rides. It would seem like, we know those like portable, like, I don't know, people playing football, or there's just There's more activity. It was insane.
It's
an
indoor Neverland, it sounds like.
I swear to God, it was like walking into like a music video or some kind of weird thing. And so through it all, I see him. He walks toward me. He's wearing an NFL Seahawks jersey. And he shakes my hand. And he said, "Hey, man, wow, it's really great to meet you." And I said, "Oh, it's great to meet you, too." And we kind of look at each other. I'm thinking, it was your moment that you worry about. Like, I don't want to say anything. And then I'm thinking, maybe the guy didn't identify who I was. I mean, I really think that that was my overwhelming thought, because I only said I'm Mark Thompson.
Yeah.
I didn't say, like, I'm the voice of the awards, or I'm the guy who's calling the action,
yeah,
or anything
yeah.
that was sort of in that moment, out of context, frame it. And when you see who I am, it's like my physical person doesn't necessarily match the voice.
Yeah, it's very disappointing for everyone who meets you. I know, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you. And so I'm doing all that arithmetic while I'm trying to, in that nanosecond, decide what I'm going to say next. And he said, "Wow, it's just great." And I said, "Well, listen, man, have a great show. It's nice to see you." And then we got a selfie together, and that was about it. I mean, it was just as I thought, much less than the text that arrived that saying, you know, Russell wants to meet you.
That's what matters in this day and age, though, is you got the selfie, and that's the takeaway, and that's what you'll be happy with for the rest of your life, that you have that.
Well, thank you. As usual, you make me feel better about it.
One question I have to ask, and that is, as a Seahawks fan, and you're one too, Mark, could you still see the pain of Super Bowl 49 on his face, or does it seem like he's moved past that and he's okay?
Well, something happened during the show that I thought was interesting. There was a competition during the show, and he's up against Strahan, and you know they both are kind of the captains of these teams, and it really was a fun. It may be the most fun show that I do all year. But anyway, because there's all this stuff going on and slime and the colors and everything's really big. And so Strahan and Russell Wilson are captaining these teams. And at the end, his team finishes second. And they're just edged out. And I thought, wow. I felt that moment that you're talking about, like an unspoken moment where you go, you know, and he didn't say, "Well, I'm used to it," or he said, "Well, I," you know, he didn't refer to it. You know, I mean, it was,
but somewhere at home, Malcolm Butler was watching the show and laughing his ass off.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Me too. I feel the same way. What is it about human beings, or is it just me, that the Seahawks have been in 2 Super Bowls in recent years, yet I almost never think about the game that they won? All right, we have time for just one more thing, and I find this fascinating, although I find a lot of things fascinating, and your mileage may vary on this particular thing, but Morse code has been around for what? I don't know, 150 years, maybe more? It's a dot, dash, dot, dash, dash, dot system of communicating over long distances using tones or lights or clicks. It's just a way to get the alphabet across to somebody by spelling out words. Well, the letter V sounds like this. All right, a little faster now. What else does that remind you of? Let me play it for you again. What else does this sound like besides the Morse code letter for V? Something that happened about 30 years before Morse code was invented. And it went a little something like this. Ludwig von Beethoven's immortal 5th symphony that he wrote over a period of about 4 years, starting in the early 1800s. It's maybe the most famous classical piece in the world. It has been suggested, and I don't know if it has been confirmed, but a lot of people have theories on this, that the reason the letter V in Morse code sounds like it does is because that's the same 4 notes that Beethoven started his 5th symphony. 5, Roman numeral, V, 4 notes. Also, if you dig in a little deeper, you'll find that Morse code on the radio came back in a big way during World War II. The Allies and the Germans both tried to take credit for Beethoven. Obviously, Adolf Hitler had a claim on him because Beethoven was German. So he did a lot of promotion of Beethoven's music because he was trying to prove that, hey, Germans, we make good stuff. The Allies, particularly England, adopted the Fifth Symphony and called it the Victory Symphony. And those four notes became very associated with Britain's wartime effort because the bulletins on the BBC were all preceded by this. So did Samuel Morse have Beethoven in mind when he came up with the dit-dit-dit-da? We may never know. But those four notes, and V for Victory, and Beethoven's majestic Fifth Symphony will always live together in our minds.
That was Beans!
Fun fact.
As I have heard from young ladies many times over the years, your 20 minutes are up, either pony up some more cash, or you have to go home. That means this podcast is over for another week. I am deeply humbled by the number of you that listened to last week's show and reached out to comment on it, good or bad, at my email address at bean@kerrick.com or on the Twitter machine at Clyde Tumbaugh. It means a lot to me, and I really, really do appreciate it. Have a great week, and thanks again.
Thanks for that podcast, Bean. Thanks for that podcast, Bean. It's my favorite part of the day. Oh, I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Thanks for that podcast, Bean.
Hey, Bean, why don't you go ahead and just take another vacation? I had about 4 months worth of Bean in that one goddamn podcast. Bean, fix your goddamn life.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.